Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Hi.
From a distance, the world looks blue and green.
Stuff up your nose yet, Jake? That's too confusing, Erin.
From a distance, the ocean meets.
So no alcohol for Benjamin.
And the eagle takes to flight.
I love Andrea Belmont.
From a distance, there is harmony.
I ate some bad Whataburger. All right, I have to go to the bathroom.
Hello, and welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman. I'm Jake, I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came up with the crazy list of comics that we read through each week.
And I am Ben, the middle brother. I'm Ben, the baby brother, and I'm trying really hard to focus on what I want to say, and in doing so, completely messing up. I'm your sunshine, and you got fam.
And I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest of us. I produce this mess, and thanks for tuning back into the Brotherhood of Batman podcast. We are three brothers who read Batman books in somewhat of continuity order, watch Batman movies, play games, and just have a general fun time. I'm going last this week. We read Legends of the Dark Knight, numbers 59 through 61, which we're calling our Knight's Quest Part 5 episode. And I came up with a beverage for this lovely books that we read. Did either of you guys make a beverage? Mine was a Shirley Temple, because we have a childlike state going on, and so I thought that would be an appropriate drink for this inappropriate book.
I also made a Shirley Temple because it was a great idea for this book, and they are delicious.
They are delicious. I made a couple extras for the boys, and I think that was their first time having them, and they really enjoyed them.
Do you make yours with lemon lime soda or ginger ale?
I used lemon lime soda and some juice from the maraschino cherries, and then some grenadine syrup, and then mix that all up, which is pretty tasty.
Yeah, I'm a ginger ale fan.
Yeah, I didn't think we had any ginger ale, so I was like going with what we had. So ginger ale is, though. I like ginger ale. Ben, how about you? What do you make?
I am not a ginger ale fan. Yeah, Shirley Temple sounds fabulous. So before we talk about this book that I'm really excited to get into, what's been going on in your geeky little lives?
Stop talking about comic books, or what I'll think you're doing, you. Nerd.
Stop spending.
Get those words,
nerd!
Nerd! Nerd!
Or I swear to God, geek. You're gonna spend your 20
geek.
Years alone.
Geek.
I mean, I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
Well, before we started recording, I was telling you guys how I was straightening up the comic library and
trapped in the closet.
And actually recording in the comic room right now, which those who have been to my house will know.
Comic
that
room.
Yeah, it's actually a four-year closet.
I have a comic room. Jake has a closet.
yes, but my comic closet has, what, 20 times as many books in it as your room does? So
that's fair.
Oh, I'm sorry. As I lay on my couch next to my chair across from my comic books. You're right, Jake.
That's true. I can't actually turn around in mine, so.
I have like a Harry Potter at the bottom of the stairs comic closet.
You do.
That's true.
I have pillows and blankets and stuffed animals. Pretty fabulous.
Well, I was straightening it out because my son, who's been my older son, who's been a guest star, Noah, on the show a few times, he has been recently really into Spider-Man. And like our show, where we have a Batman continuity, something that I sat down and spent a lot of time trying to put together a strange reading order to follow through the, you know, 80 years of Batman stories, Noah has started doing one on his own for Spider-Man.
Nice.
He's been putting together where he would like to start with, you know, Amazing Fantasy 15, and then moving on to a lot of the villains' first appearances and everything. And so,
nice.
Been helping him with that, and wanted to make sure that he had access to all of the books in the library. So that was what started the cleaning process, so that he
good
could
deal.
Get in here right. and get to some of the stuff. And you know, it's nice to share that with him and to be talking.
Now,
about, like,
Jake.
Yeah.
Compared to your Batman books, how big would you say your Spider-Man section is?
It is very, very small comparatively. I mean, I have an entire bookcase just of Batman books, and I think I only have about maybe a dozen and a half Spider-Man. But I do have a lot of the major stories, you know, Death of Gwen Stacy and Entrance of Venom.
R.I.P.
Nice.
But I do also have a... One of the things that I think he's been interested in starting his own Spider-Man collection, and that's cool. And if he decides to look at the Marvel Universe in a much broader way, I have a lot of the big major storylines that Spider-Man's a part of too. So, you know, Secret Wars and Civil War and all the other big crossovers, he'll be able to not have to spend his money on those, and he can read his Spider-Mans and then get into other things. Yeah.
Nice.
It's been fun to do that. And, you know, he's got some plans, and so maybe we'll talk about that down the road, or even have him on the show sometime, and he can talk about what he's doing with all that.
Well, there is a Spider-Man Batman that I almost had us read for an Elseworlds at one point. So did I read that? Did we read that book?
I think we read something else. I know you threatened us with it.
Well, Jake, if he is interested in reading, like, the Spider-Man Noir, I have the first 5 issues of that. I have the Ultimate Spider-Man Trades. I have a bunch of those. You know, so if he's looking at any of those. So.
I think so.
The Ultimate series are fun.
Yeah, I actually own the entire Ultimate Universe, all of it. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Good deal.
But yeah, he got into the Spider-Man video games, and that led him, you know, via Miles Morales, and then that led into the Ultimate stories, because that's where Miles is introduced, and then brought into the actual 616. He started diving deeper into Parker's stories. So yeah, he's gone pretty gung-ho with it. And
cool.
It's exciting, because like, I don't, you know, we do a lot of stuff here with Batman, but thinking about other characters and somebody who has almost as broad of a, probably just as broad of a universe and a rogues gallery as Batman, you know, Spider-Man has a lot to offer out there.
Oh yeah,
yeah. There's a few movies
A few.
Yeah, and his as you guys will have heard us talk about in episodes this season about our Batman movies, the Spider-Man movies, I think, have a much better track record overall. So.
Some of them, yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys remember, I think I've told you at some point, the only movie my husband has ever cried at, ever, was Amazing Spider-Man 2 when Gwen Stacy died.
Really?
Yes. I cry at everything, and he cried at that in the movie theater. And I'm like, what's going on, babe? And he's like, they're dating in real life.
That's the Andrew Garfield ones, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Emma Stone.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
I need to go back and watch those. I haven't watched those in a while.
The critics didn't cry because they never made a third one. So.
Yeah.
That's true. I like it. My opinion on those movies is I like the Peter and Gwen stuff. I don't care about the supervillains in those. That's my problem with that series.
Yep.
What about you, Aaron?
We did a game night last night, which was fun. So we I made breakfast for dinner, which I don't know about you guys, but like bacon, eggs, or omelets or waffles for dinner is some of the best stuff that you can have, in my opinion.
Sure.
So we had a breakfast for dinner last night, and then we played some card games. We played, Connor has like the charades picture game, so we played that. We played I can't remember the name of the game, but it's like not, you know, apples to apples and, you know, Cards Against Humanity. There's this mid-range kid version. It's like Kids Create Absurdity, which is funny. The kids like it. It was fun. It's basically, it's the same premise as either of those two game, apples to apples or Cards Against Humanity, but it's obnoxious, but it's obnoxious at like a middle school level. So yeah. It, which was fun. So the boys liked that. We played that for a while, and then we played a a partner's chess match, which I do not recommend because that is really hard when you're playing and you alternate moves between somebody.
Oh no.
So that was kind of fun. Really, but then we played that, and then we did some Jackbox games, and then, you know, so it was kind of, and nobody, it was a nice night. Nobody argued. There wasn't any fighting over the games. It was kind of one of those rare nights where everybody like enjoyed the games, and, you know, which was good. So that was fun.
It will never happen again.
Right.
I know. So we take advantage of it.
Once a year, those are nice when they pop up.
Yeah. Right.
So I texted you two the other day that
I'm worried.
Exciting.
Oh, I forgot about this.
My Week in Geek that was in the mail. Well, it showed up. I've already enjoyed it, and I've already ordered the next two volumes. I learned the other day via Reddit that there is a Final Fantasy manga series.
Of course there is.
So that was exciting. Have you two read much or any manga before? Manga?
So was it a game or a book?
So it's a book. So it's a comic. It's a Japanese comic based on the Final Fantasy world, but it's not one particular game. It's like, so the Final Fantasy games in general are like all different themes and all different stories. So this is about a guy that works for the company that makes the games, gets hit by a truck and dies and shows up in a Final Fantasy world. So it was, obviously I'm obsessed, but it was fun. And I don't read a lot of manga, so it was cool to do that. Yeah. And the more I read, the better I'm getting at it.
Yeah,
because it goes backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Reading right to left, which is hard to do if you don't do it a lot.
Right. You know, I've read a few. Like I've read Uzumaki, which is this crazy like horror manga. It's pretty well known. And then I've read some of the Death Note ones. And then I think I shared with you guys the Batman Japanese volumes.
Oh yeah.
So I've read I think I have all three of them, and I've read one or two of them so far. And yeah, it's kind of fun. Once you get into it, it takes a little weird to get used to, but it's fun once you get going. Mm-hmm.
Which is such a different style. So,
Yeah, it's something that my library actually is very lacking in. I don't have a lot of manga.
Your library is lacking?
Yes.
I have like one shelf. Jake, did you ever read The Gone from little dinosaur that
I
showed
up
in Tekken 3?
I have almost the entire Gone collection because the the art of that is amazing.
Nice.
Aaron, it's realistic animals with this little like baby T-Rex living amongst them, and he like protects all the little sweet animals from the predators. It's very strange.
A T-Rex protecting animals, that makes lots of sense.
Well, he's like knee-high.
I mean, he'll eat like fish.
Okay.
Do you remember the one from Tekken, the little dinosaur that you could fight as?
Maybe. I'd have to go back and look.
Like, orange and very short. He's a terrible character to play as, but he like popped up. He was from the comic books, and then they like threw him in Tekken as like a cameo thing. It was very strange.
When I love those books, the art is just amazing. It's all black and white pen drawing, but there's no words. Mm-hmm. It's all just a visual story, and so you know, it's kind of a different experience than American comics reading. And they are just hilarious. He, you know, fights bears and other things that are trying to hurt the little woodland creatures.
Right. Is there a grizzly shark in there?
There are sharks and grizzly bears, and he rides both of them. And so it's pretty close.
Takes entire manga collection.
I have some Zelda. They did a manga book for each of the Zelda games. I have a couple of those. I have the one that's based off the Super Nintendo, and then I have the two-part one that's Ocarina of Time, and those are pretty sweet.
Nice.
That's cool.
Very fun. All right, speaking of things that are fun, we're not going to talk any more about that this episode. What books did we read?
Well, gentlemen, we read Legends of the Dark Knight number 59 through 61, and this picks up after Bruce, also known as Hemingford Gray, is standing, shaking his fist, scorning Chandra, Dr. Chandra, whatever her last name is, Kinsolving, and cursing her for betraying him and Tim's dad. And so we catch up with Bruce and Alfred and Asp and Chandra, and we find out what everyone has been up to and how well adjusted all of them are, and the great sibling relationship between Asp and Chandra, and how
being sarcastic.
So good.
And we also have our good friend JPV, who is in here, and now Tim shows up as well. So we've got some things to talk about. But I think it's let's just go ahead and start discussing these issues here, because we just kind of catch up on everybody, along with some other things.
I'm probably going to just save all of my comments until my review, because I have a very nicely written 3-page essay on what I want to say. So, right, just kidding. just kidding. Nice. Oh, yeah. Alfred quit.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Again,
yeah, that's
for
a big
400th
part.
Time.
They've gone back to London. Bruce is in a deteriorating state even more and more. He's pushed himself too fast, too far.
Whoa, that doesn't sound like Bruce at all, Jake.
No. And how many doctors in these books told him that if he keeps pushing himself, he'll never walk again, and he keeps pushing himself?
And what ends up happening at the end of the book, Ben?
He's able to walk, all thanks to a character who, I can't talk about it.
I feel like what's going to happen here is I'm going to try to recap and discuss the pot points, and Aaron's just going to antagonize Ben the entire episode.
I think you nailed it.
So strap in, dear listeners. Man, okay, so there's no beating around it. This story has a lot of issues. The treatment of the Chandra character is not well handled. Stuff that is important for our storyline.
My heart is racing. Not well handled. The first thing I wrote down, so these books were written by Dennis O'Neill, who, RIP, we've said some nice things about him in the past. I no longer have respect for him. So the first thing I wrote down on this paper was, shame on you, Dennis. Sean, I'm sorry, I wasn't going to talk. Go ahead.
No, well, we find out, okay, so Bruce is getting a bad prognosis. He still thinks Chandra was part of it. And I said, what adult. We find out that Chandra is actually technically by adoption related to Asp. Yeah. Her name was Sandra Asplin. And basically she was adopted because her Asp's racist father wanted someone he could be racist to and ridicule and abuse. Is that about summing that up?
No, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. That's pretty much what happened in 1993.
So, right. And so we find out that Asp and Sandra figured out their powers when they were kids, that he could amplify and she could heal, and that if they thought about it correctly, they could actually do damage, which led him, in our previous issue that we talked about him, to develop his amplification ray that wipes out cities and towns and everyone from a distance. And so we find out that they work together to kill the dad when they were little, which no big loss there, because I feel like there are plenty of racists that deserve to disappear. And
sure, get him.
Yeah. But Sandra is very shaken about that, so she dedicates her life to becoming a doctor and hiding her powers and getting away from Asp. And
thank you, Aaron. That was a beautiful introduction to my first point I would like to talk about. So, Chandra, in spite of her early upbringings, overcomes and goes to doctor school and becomes this strong, smart, like, she overcame all this terrible, literally being adopted so someone could whip her. And she becomes a strong character that is who we met many issues ago when being handled under a different title and under different writers. And then they decide that we don't need her anymore. And so, so over these three issues, she slowly starts to become a child because she's so traumatized by killing people. It ends with her healing Bruce, who now can walk despite all of his terrible decisions to not listen to the doctors. She basically gives her life to restore him. So she is a hero that there would be no Batman. There would be no Bruce Wayne if it wasn't for Chandra. And how do the writers and artists repay this character? By making her a dehumanized small child living on a beach home bought by Bruce Wayne, with a white nurse being like, oh, she's such a precious child.
So you didn't like that?
Did I miss anything? It was so upsetting. So
I was taken aback by it too. I was like, you've got to be shitting me that this is what you're going to do to this character.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, okay, she's going to heal Bruce and then she's going to like pass out and then she'll wake up and her she'll wake up, her powers will be gone, because that sometimes happens in comics and stories.
Sure.
And she'll realize who she is and,
right,
you know, she won't have the relationship with Bruce because that time has passed, and mm-hmm. she can go on to do what she needs to do, because
healing people,
you know,
like without her magic powers the way that she had already been doing, right? Like, she has all of the skill to be such an asset to society without superpowers.
And they're like, let's take this intelligent, superpowered black woman and strip her of all of her humanity. I was so upset. Granted, I'm a white male, so I can only speak from my own experiences, but the lack of positive representation in these early 90s comics, and this is the 90s. This is was a step back.
They knew better.
Jake, so Ben, you said you had an encyclopedia of DC stuff that you knew about, and you'd heard the kind of how her story ends. Is there any more Chandra? Do we ever get her again? Either of you know?
She is very, very loosely alluded to in a hand, like two or three issues for the rest of time.
Yeah.
I don't know that she ever actually returns.
Jeez.
Yeah. It was worse than if they just killed her. Like,
that was going to be my question. Would you have been, obviously not, like, already the handling of her character had gone awry and was very...
Oh, it was a train wreck.
But if instead of degrading her down to a child, you know, basically a little girl sitting there with her stuffed animals, you know, no longer the character that she was, would her character have had at least a more acceptable ending if she had given her life to save the Batman? Like, if she had made the sacrifice...
I would have been mad either way, but I personally think this was a slap in the face to an entire group of people who weren't really reading comic books. It's like, this isn't how you're going to get black women to read your comic books.
Yeah.
So I personally, Jake, if she had died healing Bruce and they made that the thing, I would have enjoyed that more, because even him being healed was like downplayed. Like, he's walking on the beach totally fine and they're not even addressing it. It's like all handled in one page of him talking to
Tim. Right. Like, she puts her hands on him, and then he's miraculously better, and she is, like, toddler, and it's...
Well, and there was such an opportunity there. Like, we didn't need the page of wrap-up with Tim and Bruce at the end discussing the estate and the doctors and all that. If they had spent that page with... So, she lays her hand on Bruce as... Basically, it sounds like he's dying, right? Like, his body has given up on him. And so she holds him through the night, and in the morning he's recovered and he carries her out. But if they had spent that page on that night, if, you know, so Chandra and Asp were able to join their minds, and that's where the power that the two of them shared came from. If she had been able to join her mind with Bruce and maybe said her farewells, asked for forgiveness in her killing those people and, you know, her part of that, if there had been some kind of farewell as opposed to just wrapping it up so quickly. Okay, well, we need Bruce Heald and we need Chandra out of the picture. So, bada bing, bada boom. That's how it happens, right? Like, you
right.
Need,
yeah, that was. A...
We need I these agree. Things to happen, so make them happen in this one like
but
transition.
Did they really need them to happen? Like, here's the thing. I'm over Bruce Wayne. If he had died and we got a new comic book character that's this strong Dr. Black woman that's going around saving people with her magical powers, I'd be like, fine, take my money, DC, because I don't need to give any more to Bruce Wayne. He only was in the position of being that close to death because he kept not listening to the doctors.
Because he's an idiot.
It's like when the stupid people are going around not listening to COVID, and then it's like, oh, well, sorry, all the doctors just had to die. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Sorry. Wow. Aaron, do what you want with that in the editing room. can I, I'll try to keep it short. Can I tell a short personal story that relates to this?
Absolutely.
Did you work to kill someone through using your mind, Ben?
Yeah, so this one time, no, not quite like that. So I mentioned that it bothers me because of the representation and the disrespect to the potential strong character that they could have had. And I also mentioned, you know, I'm a white man, so I can't speak for my own, whatever. In the early to mid 2000s, still in DC Comics, there was a gay character in Green Lantern that was around for like 2 to 3 years as like Green Lantern's best friend. And they were building him up to be this, like, he had his own storylines. He was like a major supporting character. And there was an issue that ended with Green Lantern seemingly dying and teleporting his superhero ring, his Green Lantern power ring, to this gay guy. So it looked like he was going to, like, there was going to be a gay Green Lantern, which at that point in comics, gay superheroes were like practically not a thing. There were very, very few of them. Well, the following issue, surprise, surprise, was made by a completely different creative team. And they were like, oh, just kidding. He doesn't get to wear the ring. That was just a way for Green Lantern to get back to Earth. So they completely scrapped and got rid of 2 to 3 years of character development. And I'm reading these books and I'm relating to what I felt as a gay teenager reading that, being like, oh my God, am I going to be represented? Am I going to get a strong superhero character that reminds me of me? And I'm sure there are not very many African-American women reading these comics, but I could only imagine if there was one or, you know, six in the whole world that are reading this being like, oh, I like Chandra. And then they literally rip it away. So thank you for letting me share that. But that was my personal moment of like just being done with this book.
Yeah. Jake, as somebody that's still in the closet, what are your thoughts on that?
Wow, that was good, Aaron.
I could go all weird and Jake like, and I could say that I'm looking at a wall of really good stories, and there are some highlights of Batman, and I think, you know, we've discussed over and over how the Knight's Quest stuff wasn't collected for many years, that until you get the omnibus to find it all, it wasn't something that was reprinted. And I think there is maybe too little too late of DC being like, okay, this isn't a shining moment of us, you know, writing stories for the actual populace. You know, we're writing still at this point in time for the fat white guy in his mom's basement. And so long and
the Hunchback Harold, basically, is what you're saying.
Right.
kidding.
No, they were definitely not writing books for dwarves. I mean, they, you know, even made sure to make fun of him. God. Like,
I had to say something not PC.
I think part of the reason, I mean, we could have skipped over these, right? Like, we could have.
I'm glad we didn't.
Right.
No, I don't think we could have. We had to know how Bruce, like, heals himself. And, like, if we read the other Chandra stuff, we had to have closure on that. However,
terrible
the closure
is. Also, Aaron, though, I do need to correct you real quick. You said how Bruce healed himself. He didn't do shit.
Right.
She healed him.
how Bruce once again put himself in the way of dying, and somebody had to save his ass. So,
right. Yeah.
But I think it's important, you know, if we're going to talk about this character for as long as we have, that we talk about, you know, some of the times where he isn't a shining example of good storytelling or politically correctness.
Absolutely.
Because right. his history is wrapped up in that. I mean, if you look at the old black and white serials, which someday maybe we'll talk about a little bit more in detail, but, like, I mean, they're wrought with Asian bigotry, and it's mm-hmm. it's very not good, and the way they cast the villains in those black and white serials is very negative. And it having been around for 80 years, you know, now we're getting a much broader acceptance.
It's history. I agree with us reading these. I
mm-hmm.
obviously have strong opinions. This is a very serious episode. Any other thoughts on these books?
Well, yeah, I do want to talk about, like, story-wise and what it's going to do for the Batman family a little bit, since we don't longer have to talk about Chandra after this, but we will have to talk about him.
Whenever I feel like being on a high horse for the rest of this podcast, whenever Bruce does something impressive, I'm going to be like, well, good thing Chandra allowed him to still be with us.
Rightfully so. I think.
Ahead.
Rightfully so. Let's talk a little bit about Alfred, because the middle issue of these two, at least half of it's devoted to Alfred finally telling Bruce, like, look, countless doctors have told you not to do this. You can't continue.
You can't say finally when it's the fourth time, Jake.
But he doesn't just quit. He goes back to Wayne Manor and cleans it one more time.
With tears in his eyes.
Oh my God. So he said one of the last things he says to Bruce is, I will not be a part of your self-destruction. I'm like, okay, cool. Since when?
Right.
Since you were eight?
The entire time. Right?
The day after the Waynes died? Is that when?
And then Alfred quits, and Bruce has a panel where he's just staring, and then he has another panel, and he's like, I think he means it. Yeah, bitch, maybe.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he goes back, and Wayne Manor is in disarray, and it's the windows are broken, it cobwebs and dust everywhere, but as soon as he goes into the manor, JPV is there to confront him, and even though Jean-Paul Valley has completely lost respect for Bruce and mm-hmm. what Batman originally stood for, the moment that Alfred's like, no, take off your mask and talk to me in your regular voice, like a human being, like Jean-Paul Valley listens to Alfred still. And he's like, mm-hmm. okay, sorry, sir.
Okay.
I like that.
Somebody has to listen to Alfred since Bruce won't.
Right, exactly. So, like, it clearly tells us that you should be listening to Alfred, dumbass, and, you know, this guy does know what he's talking about, and even...
I think I've been saying that for 2 years of podcasting, but, right. You know, that's just me.
Well, nobody's going to listen to you anyway, so...
That's fair.
So, finally, he's out of the picture. He's quit for good this time, and we're going to see what that, you know, Bruce alone,
give it four issues.
He sends Tim a 24-hour delayed message to be like, hey, Tim, this may be my farewell. I'm going to try to go save Chandra. I don't have a plan, which is not like me, da-da-da-da-da. And
he also doesn't say goodbye or I'm proud of you or anything,
right.
Even though he says I might never see you again. I'm like, so you're strictly business.
No, he does tell him that maybe that Tim will have to continue the crusade, and maybe John Paul Valley. So even he's losing faith in the masquerading uh-huh. hero.
Right.
And he calls Gordon. Yeah, I guess we should talk about that a little bit. He calls Gordon and tells Gordon, you know, like, hey, I'm going to go do this. If Tim comes looking for me, here's how to find me. But don't you come find me. Just tell Tim how to find me.
Well, and Tim
you get confirmation that Gordon knows that Batman's not Batman, so that's good after episodes of him alluding to does he or doesn't he know.
Well, I think he finally put down the Burger King and popcorn and got out of his junk food-induced coma and realized that what was going on.
Oh, God. At some point, they just won't serve you any more popcorn.
Well, in the highlight, the
shut him off.
I think the thing that was my favorite about these three issues is that the climax of the story takes us back to Santa Prisca, which I was really hoping we would get back to. So...
Were you? Aaron, were you?
I so was, Ben.
How close is Santa Prisca? Because they said, like, I feel like a lot of time jumping happened in this book. Like, sure. It was very
the Caribbean
quick.
Is not a real long flight, I don't think. A couple hours, probably.
No, but for, gotcha. For a country that is not allowing any Americans in or out, people really get in and out pretty easily. So.
Oh, yeah.
They do, especially with hurricanes and other storms going on. Yeah, they get in and out fast. So, I mean, we've got Asp, who wants to kill Bruce. And, you know, when Bruce finally gets back to Santa Prisca to rescue Chandra, I wrote down, Asp, maybe just shoot him? He's in a wheelchair. He can't really go anywhere. Like, maybe just shoot him and be done with it. One of my favorite parts in here, though, is back in, like, issue 60, Asp wants to reach out and kill Bruce Wayne. And I was like, of course he does. And so he reached out to kill Hemingford Gray, and it didn't work. And Bruce said if he had existed, he would have just died because he felt, like, this weird presence as he reached out. And then Asp is like, huh, that didn't seem like it normally does, but who cares? Let's just move on. I got other things to do. I'm sure he's dead.
I need my $10 billion.
Right. It just made me think of all the, like, you know, the loopholes in plot lines where it's like, okay, we got to give the villain, like, yeah, he's not the brightest. Let's just make sure he has, like, you know, doesn't let's the hero have an escape at some point. So it's just kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Also, like, did I miss why he was so set on killing that guy? I was like, your only interaction was he tried to get Chandra away from you one time outside a party. And then, like, I don't know.
I think it was because
very hell-bent.
He recognized Chandra and, you know, was mm-hmm. very adamant that she knew who he was. And even though he had disguise on. And I got to say, Ben, like, Bruce's ability to put on makeup that withstand beatings and thunderstorms
and multiple days, like, right? Like,
where does he keep getting it? Like, does he care? Like, he gets kidnapped and all these different things. Like, he keeps being in different places, like, leaving hospitals, putting on makeup. I'm like, dude, where is this coming from?
I feel like it's, like, the Mission Impossible case that you have, like, the face, like, when they rip it off in the movies. Oh, I feel like it's that level of disguise.
I thought it was, like, spirit gum to his chest, so it looks like chest hair at one point in time, but then he can rip it off and put it on, like, a beard and mustache when he needs to.
Oh, my God. That's so gross. Another thing about how strong Chandra's character was, and then they ripped it away, was the fact that she figured out he was Batman.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's when she figured out he was Batman, and Asp figured out he was Batman. I was like, oh, they're done.
They're all characters again.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Oh, man. All right. Anything else before reviews?
No.
But let me ask you something. What do you think of this? Say it's
all right. That was terrible. Horrendous. I'm offended. I'm appalled. Right.
That was awesome. Right. Whoa,
yes.
Yes.
Right. So I'll start with the reviews. The final things I wrote in my notes were this some bullshit and Bruce is all better and Chandra is written out permanently. So that's my review. I definitely think it was important for the continuity, but mm-hmm. I will not be reading it again. This gives Gothic a run for its money.
Whoa. That's a review in itself.
Right. Well, you know, Ben, I'm going to agree with most of what you said. I think we did need to read this for continuity's sake to figure out, you know, what was going on. But I think it was an injustice to characters. And I think, you know, storyline wise, it was not Dennis's best work. I will not be rereading these. I think it was really kind of pretty shameful on what they did to her character.
Yeah.
That's agreeing with me entirely, Aaron. That's what I said.
Okay.
I did need it for continuity, but I'm not going to read it again.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess I agree with you.
That's weird. I was like, don't get it twisted.
I agree with both of you, like, to the point that, like, I can't even make, like, a bad taste joke because the book was in such bad taste already. So it's unfortunate, and I think if you are a completist and you're reading the entire Nightfall, Nightquest, Night's End saga with us, you'll see the high highs of the first arc and the real low lows of the second arc, and this is, I think, the lowest that it can get. And, you know, luckily we're nearing the end of Night's Quest, and, you know, I've got good faith in the comics coming up. And so you know, I didn't write any of the damn books, but I did make everybody read them, so for that I'm sorry.
Well, on
so
that
if you
want
to read it, get it from the library. Don't buy it. That's
there you
saying.
Go. Yeah. So, what's next, Jake?
Well, next in the Night's Quest reading order, I am flipping back because I, for some reason, did not foresee that was about to come up, and I didn't have my note in front of me.
You know, Ben, it's not like we have a certain order that we try to do this podcast.
Yeah, I know. I haven't even messed up for months either.
I know.
Well, if you're reading along with us, you know, we're going to go back to JPV's story, which is going to be in Batman 505 through 507. So we hope you will read. We've got two more episodes in Night's Quest. We're going to find out, you know, maybe dig a little bit deeper into why Gordon is now convinced that this is not the real Batman, and what is happening in Gotham.
Dig a little deeper. Would you be
little princess of the frog?
Princess of the frog. Right? Come on, strong African-American woman representation. And the company being a little behind in the times.
Fair enough. All right.
Oh, God.
All right,
Aaron,
well,
what did we learn this week?
Damn it. I almost signed this off.
It's that time again.
To do another one of our cute little skits?
No. It's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Well, gentlemen, we learned good thing Chandra allowed him to still be with us.
Oh. R.I.P. Oh, for the Brotherhood of Batman, I am Ben, and thank you for letting us have a serious episode.
I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest of us. I'll clean this up. Thanks for tuning in.
And I'm Jake. I'm the middle brother. Thanks for sticking with us, guys. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Hopes have been his plans. This city's way.